Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Tim in Oregon, and we're sharing some hints about what life's all about. So today, maybe we can discuss what Dwayne Hoepner, who's the creator of the new presentation, has said that about to have the heart of a child, pure and real, is the true purpose of life. That sounds like that's very important stuff about the true purpose of life. So I'll read a little bit out of a book called Your Dream Visions, which is New Book 6 by Dwayne, the great writer. And I'll just read a little bit here about what he has to say. If one waits too long in pursuing what the real guides are presenting right now, then it will be another dead life and on into an unknown future of coming back here the same way as this time, unconscious and still wandering around to find some real answers. One of the first things everyone needs to know is where they came from. There are a lot of stories on the earth from many sources, but anyone can access all the knowledge they need from their dream visions. Then, as one stays with what the real guides are presenting, they will come to realize and perceive what the whole of life is all about. So that seems to be connecting to the heart of a child. So, let's see. Does a child's heart change automatically, or is it influenced by, in this physical, all these outer things that take place in a child's life, who they're around and how the beings, the people, or whatever, they're around do and what they say, and it's interesting to think about a child's heart. We all were children once, and how our hearts were. What was it? Were we in the now, just experiencing it at that time? Did we have any ideas or things about some future, or maybe we had some recollection of certain things that had already taken place in our young lives? And why would a child be interested in anything but what's affecting them right at the time being, the here and now? Would it be interested in other things that are going on that it knows isn't experiencing right at that time? And when we're a child, do we think about, oh, we're going to live forever, or what we're going to be, and then there's things like this child's pleasure principle that Dwayne talks about, and it seems like it is indeed fortunate that a young child does not possess the strength, coordination, and ingenuity of most adults, because if it were so, they would almost certainly and uninhibitedly wipe out any opposition to their satisfaction with the pleasure they are always seeking. Because children are such, they are the innocent ones until the time comes when they must learn to face themselves. It's just trying to understand or remember, or the child's part, being pure and real. And how that connects with things like the pleasure principle, the child is wanting to be taken care of when it's hungry or when it needs its diaper changed or things like that. What is pure and real about the heart of a child? Does anybody want to say anything about that?
Well, I guess we were all there at one point. This is Dean Bell from Huntington Beach. And we seem to grow out of it. But at one point, like you said, Tim, the child doesn't think about the future too much or plans he's making. It's more he's in the now. He's living from the now. But then again, being in creation, there's other things going on. So as Dwayne puts it, children, animals too, who are in the now, basically living with the environment, they still need to recognize, they have this purity and sincerity, but they don't have the recognition yet that they are what they are, the real awareness. So it's kind of interesting the way it works. It's that they're pure, but then they grow out of it. When they grow out of it, well, then you can start seeing what you really are. But as you grow out of it, you lose that sincerity. Many people do, and their purity. So you have to kind of reclaim that again, and then go from there to recognize the real awareness. So it's kind of interesting the way it works. But animals too, they're pure, but they don't, they're in a way not self-aware yet. They're just aware of what is, but not self-aware in a sense. So to get the whole picture, we go there too. We have to recognize everything, that is.
Yeah, well, thanks. It's another thing is, why would the heart of a child think there are real guides unless they're experiencing them? Why would they have any idea that real guides exist unless in their dreams or something, or possibly in their physical bodies, they're having experiences with real guides, what we call real guides. And then we get into things like Dwayne says, imagination is the key to the secret universes. That is when it is properly developed within one and maintained as the reality it is. And these hints of the four main attributes, which are the true actualities from the real position of life, that of purity, sincerity, gratitude, and humility. So the child's heart, it sounds like if that's the purpose, the pure and real child's heart is the purpose of life. How would we find out or be pure and real like that of a child if that's our main purpose? And that gets into, what is a purpose? Is it something that we want to do?
These are questions we all have to answer, yes or not, but to look at least, because they do come up for everybody. you mentioned maintain. You mentioned the imagination. That's one thing we have to work with, like a tool. And maintaining that it is a reality. That's kind of interesting to me too. That it is a reality. Most people think it's a fantasy or something they just thought of, but actually it's a reality. And even just recognizing that, you can further your recognition about things, the world, that it is a reality. Or you could say somewhere it's a reality, but it's actually as real or more so than physical. So
that's just like we're talking about this heart of a child, isn't? Unless a person is having real experiences with real guides, like Dwayne or Rebazar or Paul or Pooby or Yabel or Gopal or Kata or Lies or Towart or Ram, me, it is almost like we're imagining they exist. It's just hard to understand this child's heart of why would a person be trying to share things with others so that they don't, that they get the idea of what life is all about, and to have I guess what would be called a so much better experience or life where there is no authorities and restrictions and pain and suffering and starvation and disease and all these things that we seem to need to go through on this earth realm so that we can recognize that those are things that we wouldn't want to be experiencing or cause to others to experience all this brutalitarian stuff and beings from other planets affecting our lives here. Probably all part of the teaching or things that we need to experience, but that it just seems there's so much that that our little minds don't seem to be able to really know about actually what life's all about. It's just, if it's all right now, this is all there is. And the other things like the memory body or something, that's just part of now that you can like time travel into your past, but it's still the same. It's all right now that you're remembering or imagining even the future. Seems like that's still right now. You're just thinking about another time, but it's in this present time you're thinking of it. Well, anyway, there's so many things about this real purpose of life being having the heart of a child that's pure and real, being the real purpose of life. And
I'm reminded of Luther Standing Bear. He talked about how getting away from nature, people's heart becomes hard and hardened, and they lose perspective. He didn't say it in those words exactly, but it was just basically when you lose your contact and relationship with nature, which we have, then you become, competitive and hardened and disgruntled and all these things that we have today. And look at the indigenous people and how you hear the American Indian, pretty much a lot of them welcomed the white man with open arms and greeted them and very hospitable and gave them, food and food and shelter, and were just really, you know, I mean, they were like childlike almost when reports from the white men, early reports from the white men's diaries, and even the Spaniards, they talk about they were almost childlike in their nature because they were so, you know, in a sense, pure because they were living with nature. I mean, that's one way to keep that essence. It's not everything.
Do you see?
It's close.
Do you see them as once we were them and that we had purity and sincerity and gratitude and humility?
Yeah, well,
at
that's
that
funny.
Time?
Yeah, sure, sure. And then it's then you become, you know, hardened once you get the hard knocks. I mean, once they found out that the white men weren't as innocent as they were. I mean, look at the Indians right now. They still have an attitude and against the white men. So they've kind of went the other way, and it's just understandable, but, you know, they were taken advantage of. So now they have a huge attitude about what happened to them, the genocide and taking their land and freedoms away. So it goes back and forth. We've been there before. Yeah. So it's, life is not easy. We were the pure ones, and then, you know, life comes along, or the negative forces come along, and you get battered around. And let's see what happens if you can maintain some kind of recognition, or you can have an attitude, you know, and just live with that attitude and be like they are, competitive and aggressive and all that. It's not an easy place, any way you look at it. I mean, creation innately is distorted. I mean, there's good parts to it, but it's not the isness that we're talking about. It's, you know, pure positive, like Paul talked about, pure positive. There's no negativity in it.
That's interesting, Val, when we talk about the white man coming to this continent where the natives had migrated to in previous centuries or however it worked. Then we got to get into the reasons of why they came here and also what made them the way they were to the natives. Why would they be taking advantage of their fellow beings at all anyway? Why wouldn't they just be getting along in harmony and just being the same as the natives themselves, which they must have been in this cause and effect creation psych realm sometime or another? Is that the hardening of their hearts from the pure and real heart of a child that they no longer had, but seemingly the natives still had the heart of a child in comparison to all this stuff that had taken place with the white man being so brutalitarian and shooting them or using them as slaves, come over here and be authoritarians and conquerors and kick them off their land and kill the buffalo and on the stories we know of what the, I guess we call it white man. But there were reasons that made white man that way. And that's kind of what we're getting at about these hints of what everything's all about, what life's all about, and these lessons that we have to go through. It's just like the natives being exposed to the white man now have picked up their similarities of their brutal ways of drunkenness and violence and their They're not looking too, I guess what you would call, much different than the white man. They're interested in the material things of life, their snowmobiles or their cars or jewelry or things like this. It's just like being a child. And what would harden our hearts? We observe certain things going on and we try to wonder, why would somebody throw kittens into a blazing barrel or some terrible thing that we see as a child that affects us and makes us wonder about life, and why would somebody do these things? It's like we're aware of brutalitarians causing wars on this earth and these beings from other planets like reptilians using us, all of us, it sounds like, for their reasons for wanting to be worshipped or have a power over others to make them do what they want secretly, and we're so unaware of how they're affecting us. From it seems like it's almost like you blame something else for the change that takes place from having the heart of a child, the effects. But then it gets into things like cause and effects. And maybe in previous lives, we have to experience the effects of the causes that we had created that we don't remember in these new human bodies when we come back into this physical realm in one planet or another, or one race or another, all these things. So it gets down to about what's really important, what is important in life. And isn't that the purpose of life? What the importance is, to have the heart of a child, to be pure and real. If everyone was that way, you wouldn't think a child would want to be out there trying to poison others or other things that seem to be going on in this psych realm stuff that we're experiencing. And then we have to see, do we have any examples in life of anyone having the heart of a child, living it and expressing it, being pure and real, and trying to, I guess you would call it, care about others, that sees the situation of what others are experiencing and would try to be helpful in making a person not have to experience the continuous suffering and unknowingness and things for ever, stuck in psych realms and never get to know how great life, what an experience it could be in the places called the real universe. It just seems like these lessons for man are pretty hard, and who actually is even paying attention to anything other than these psych realms, this physical stuff? Sure, you can eat the best food on earth and you can drink the best water and all these things, but where does it get you? You just end up with a body that only lasts so long. So what is really important, and why would anybody even think that there is such a thing as life after this body is no longer working? What would be the reason to have any ideas at all that we do exist beyond being physical? Would anybody like to express something about that? why we would think that there are real universes of real freedom?
Well, we get this in the real side experiences. We get a chance to experience these other levels in what people call dreams. So there is a reality beyond the physical that is can be accessed, and that's what people like Paul Twitchell and Ekinkar, when he had Ekinkar, he was trying to educate people to that they're more than the physical body. And right then and there, it opens up a whole new huge arena, you know, more possibilities and opportunities for a person. Because right now, the way it is, we're conditioned to think this is the only reality, the physical, but there's so much more, really. And then going back to, again, the purity aspect, everybody has free will. And just because you can do something, people do it. So just because you can take advantage of the Indians, like the white men did initially, well, they did it, you know, just because they could. It's not necessarily a motive or purpose. It's just because they could do it, they did it.
Do you see that as poor choices? Do you see that as the effects of the Indians' causes in previous lives, that they needed to experience what they had done to others in this psych realm stuff, whether it was one planet or another? It had to be done to them because they had done it.
It could have, because there's always a bigger picture of things, but then again, Paul put out this idea that there's this adi karma when you come in, this karma where you just get it. You didn't earn it. You just get it. You're just assigned certain things just to get in. Okay, you're coming into creation, so yeah, I got to have something to work with. So, you know, you're given certain things to work on or work with. So it could have been that too. That may be just an idea that he threw out there. It may not be. I mean, the way now Dwayne is presenting things, it's probably just an idea, because karma too is just kind of it's cause and effect, but it's just still it's in creation, so it's not the is that we're talking about, you know, which is it's just doesn't relate. It only relates to the creation worlds, karma. And these other ideas, you know, any idea, actually.
Yeah, so many things that we experience in these seemingly countless lives, unless we have experiences. And it seems like these dream visions are seemingly kind of the closest thing that we relate to about having not the physical body. Maybe some people, you know, you hear about the astral project, like Paul Twitchell was giving techniques and stuff for people to get out of their physical bodies to see more to let them see that they're more than their physical bodies, which some seem to have been able to accomplish, and others, I guess, like myself, would not see it as astral projection that I've was able to accomplish, but dreams would be seemingly about as close as getting out of the body as I would know of. And these all these things almost are beliefs unless a person has experiences. It's we can say, oh, this and that and that, but unless we've experienced it, or it's like truth. Here on Earth, we talk about chemtrails, and we talk about the vaccines and these reptilians and all these things. Now, a seeker of truth has to prove that to himself, that that's truth. A person listening would say, well, they can say anything, and that's their ideas about things. But this real guidance and real education about becoming more aware about life or truth or whatever you want to call it is, I mean, there's so many people that are saying so many things. It's endless. And where do we pay our attention? That's, there's, like all those guys, David Icke or Barton Carr, or on and on, the religions and all these things, that the TVs and the cell phone, Facebooks and Skypes and YouTubes, and you see, the way that I'm seeing it is that where is a person putting their attention, and that's what's important. If they're just going along with, oh, I've got a good job and a house and a car and a family and food and, oh, all these worldly things, well, it seems like that's just going to end when the body no longer works. And then they go to their so-called heavens in the psych realms, whether it's the astral or the mental or something like this, for a certain amount of time, and then to actually have to come back into these physical carcasses or whatever they're called, bodies, to learn more lessons. Is that just what this cause and effect is all about? That until people have the comparison and understanding about what's real, and in the real universes, where a person isn't affected by authoritarians, they're free. It's just, what is really important? What is the message that life would be trying to give us about what it's all about? This pure and real heart of a child being the purpose of life. Think about things like this, or this perception stuff that we, like the examples that have been given, is we can go to school and see two and two. It says two and two, but we don't know what that means until we eventually learn, oh, that's two things, and two things makes four things. But at first, it's just a two and a two, and what does it mean? So all these things about life itself and what's real important, and we've seen all this history of mankind that we know of here in the physical on Earth, and we see these things like pyramids and buildings from ancient times, and we wonder about, well, how could the natives have made those kind of things? What abilities did they have to be so precise, and why do they have these pictures of things like flying saucers or space people from thousands of years ago, or beings with serpent bodies and human heads, or another way around, human, or it's just all this stuff in the psych realms to be dealing with about what life's all about. Anyway, it's just,
you mentioned David Icke. Dwayne was talking the other night about the issues. Actually, we were watching Jesse Ventura, the former governor of Minnesota, is right now doing a lot of conspiracy type of shows and addressing different issues. And there's a lot of political issues, of course, and climate change, climate debates, and Democrats versus Republicans and terrorists. There's all these issues, but actually the only issue is whether you're going to wake up, or, you know, whether you're going to decide to wake up, because the issues in a way are distractions. So they don't really mean anything. They're just set up for people to waste their time on. And in this case, Jesse was one YouTube video. He was addressing, are chemtrails real? So he had this guy on, this supposed chemtrail expert or scientist that was experts on chemtrails, and the guy didn't even know what HARP was, or hardly. I mean, he knew about it, but he kind of deflected a lot of questions and made it sound, well, you know, yeah, sure, the academia, you know, they would certainly say something if this was true. And then Jesse said, well, also, well, why would they be spraying themselves? It doesn't make sense. If they're really spraying these particulates, their families and children would be also rained on with this poison. So they made it sound very convincing, and finally in the end, he decided, well, they are just contrails, and you know, people are sincere. They know the government lies to them and this and that. So I can understand why they think that, you know, this is true, that they're spraying poisons on us. So he kind of left it at that, that they're, you know, they're contrails still, you know. But he made it sound very convincing, and he made it sound like he's exposing something, and he does. He exposes a lot, like 9/11 and all that. He talks about that. But this is kind of an area, always chemtrails is almost like a sacred cow where, you know, you don't want to talk. Nobody wants to talk about this because they know they're going to get rid of, people are going to get rid of them, you know, or they're going to be endangered. This is something you just don't talk about truthfully. But that's kind of my point, is like, you know, the issue really is not whether chemtrails are real or not. The issue is whether you get to wake up, because people know. I mean, people know. There's so much knowledge out there. They know what's going on in a sense. They know that there's a lot of corruption and the environment's dying, that they're just in their la-la land. They want to keep their jobs and their family and, you know, their comfort zone. So they don't want to go there. They don't want to step out into this unknown area. And that's really the issue. It's not that whether, you know, there's Osama bin Laden was behind the 9/11. That's not anything. It's the issue, are you going to step up and do something? Are you going to take the chance and the risk? Because it's your life on the line in a way too. For, you know, being, you know, honest or being real. I wouldn't say honest, but just real and honorable. That's what it's more about. It's really, and people know that, like the people in Ekankar and the people in even other religions and just regular people, they know, but they're not willing to step out. I mean, sometimes they don't know, but we're providing information, and it's, information is all over the internet now. Nowadays, there's so much out there. You can hardly not know what's going on.
I see that there's many things too that aren't actually truth, that they present like it is. They make fake things up, and that seems to be all over on the internet too. That the deception. I don't know what reasons are that they would make things up, but I guess that's part of just keeping the humans dumbed down to the truth or something. I noticed that when we talk about what is pure and real about the heart of a child, children are always asking why. They want to know why you do this, and you know, and why is that happening? And it's, they have this word why, that they seem to go through a stage of always asking why is it this way, you know, or this or that or the other thing. They're always saying why for a certain part of their lives, it seems, when we're young. And that's kind of like what we're talking about is why it is the way it is here in this, on this earth at this time right now, why the governments are the way they are and why the air is the way it is and why the water is the way it is and why the food is the way it is. And so called what the why is, the answer is, what's the reason? And then we become aware of these things called reptilians and their influence on mankind for their benefit. It sounds like terrible things they do to us, like we do to the animals and stuff. They eat humans, it sounds like, and they torture things for their reasons, for their benefit, for some reasons. These whys, why do they do it? Well, they just do, but it seems life's just full of all these experiences that makes it hard for us to even imagine how wonderful life can be, where we don't have these influences affecting us about others, causing us diseases by tap lining us with their convincing us that to agree with them that this is a good thing to do, that this is the truth, and all of these things, to become attached to, like, religions or masters or gurus, or that they convince people that, oh, we know something that's real important that you should pay attention to, and if you don't, well, then you're just going to have to be unknowing and unhappy and whatever else that's conditioned physically, health and things like that. It's just that there's so many experiences that are going on, and there must be some reason in this cause and effect why it's happening. Whether the full control of the reptilians over the governments and the religions, and isn't it just like they're being teachers? We're learning lessons, and we have the comparison of what is terrible and awful to experience, and then we hear of things like a real universe where everything is wonderful and all the beings are wonderful and it's forever. So whatever it's going to take for mankind, it seems like, or other beings too, in these other planets, from going through all these experiences in these psych realms, that maybe with our free will that someday we'll decide that we've had enough of this stuff, being slaves or soldiers, or for some reasons or others that they've convinced us that this is what we should do. It's just, it would seem so simple if life just would have been in having us like being children and something taking care of us, I guess is the way to look at it, that we didn't have these terrible things in our lives, all the brutal things and the diseases and the poisons and everything to deal with here. But it is incentive to seek something that's better than this, instead of just thinking this is all there is, and that There's nothing we can do about it, and there's no reason to try. We're very, almost like nothing compared to what we even see in this physical realm, or the smallest of dust. You could just call us an atom on an atom in all this hugeness, and running all over and living the way we do with all these vehicles to get around, and going to all these jobs and creating all these bombs and poisons, and forcing others by agreement through votes to make that you have to do this or you have to do that, or you're going to be locked up, or things like that. It's a lot to deal with to try and become aware of a way to these, to or out of this psych realm stuff. And then we hear if we earn our way by sharing, trying to share with others a way to test for themselves by singing this new song before we go to bed for like 15 minutes, and when we wake up in the morning, and trying to get real guidance and a real education. Is it still all for our selfish selves, so that we don't have to be in these realms, psych realms anymore? Or is it just something that we need to experience to have a comparison of how it isn't in the real universes compared to how it is here in these psych realms?
In a sense, there's no why. Just why, because it's just an isness. So, and then, and also with the reptilian, why are they like that? Well, just that's just their nature. There's no why, in a way. It's just that's the way it is. Some things are just the way they are, and why can be both, you know, positive and negative. I mean, as a child, yeah, you're curious. You ask why this, why that. And then if you're a Native American, then they kind of steer you into, you know, if you're growing up with the Indians, you know, then it's more along lines of survival. Why this, why that, you know, why? They make sense of what the why, the innate curiosity the child has. But here in our society, why? Well, the authority will tell you why. You know, the school education will tell you why. Science will tell you why. Religion will tell you why. We will tell you why. You have no answers for yourself. You're not able to answer it for yourself. We will answer it for you. So it gets really distorted. Whereas the Native Americans, they're more like, it's more in, they just go along with their intuition and nature, and they pick it up. There's almost no reason to ask why, although you can use it. I remember in tracking school, and Tom Brown Jr., tracker fellow, he used to say the Apaches used to ask why is this stick turned up? You know, why is that ant walking the way it's walking? Why is it walking east and not west? And you ask all these questions in nature about, you're always questioning things, and that will help you become more aware. So in that respect, it helps, you know, to become more aware and then possibly recognize certain things. But in our society, why is used against you. It's just somebody's going to tell you why, and you know, somebody else is going to tell you. You don't have an answer, sir. Psychology, you know, that's a big, why am I acting like, why am I feeling this way? Why am I depressed, or why am I ADD, you know? Well, they make all this stuff up because everything already is distorted, so they just work around the distortion and make up these terms and these conditions, and then they give you drugs, and you know, they have control. It's a way of controlling people. And so where we're at.
If somebody was listening to us right now and they would have that question, why? Like, why is Dwayne saying the things that he does? What is the, they call it reason? What makes sense? Why would he do that? Why would he say these things? So we just say, well, he's had the real experiences, claiming to have been to this real universes called the Is, and that he didn't have to come back. It was a voluntary effort on his part for a reason, I guess you could call it. That would be the question, is what is being presented? These
I'd
hints.
Say that it's a natural process of things, that the isness, if you want to say anything about it, it, the idea is that it wants to become more aware of itself. So it's just part of the process. You share what your experiences and what you've found. So it's part of waking up, and it just makes sense.
Is that like how you see Dwayne as becoming more aware of himself? I was just saying, is that how you see Dwayne as becoming more aware of himself?
Yeah, it's all included. Everything is becoming aware of itself, and we're just kind of individual views of that. We take on certain positions, but everything is becoming more aware, and there's better references than others. So the real guides have the better references because they are the purity, you know, they have the sincerity. They've asked why in past. Now they don't have to ask anymore. They just do it, and they're just doing it. It's just a matter of doing it. You kind of let go of the questions because it's a mental exercise. So you just do with the right intent behind it, and then you see how life works, or how it processes itself. It just goes on and on and on, becoming more aware of itself. That's really cool. So Dwayne too.
Now these
Go ahead.
Now these reptilians becoming more aware of themselves are part of the Is, as part of everything. It's like, what are they becoming aware of themselves? That they enjoy certain things? Is that their awareness, that by causing suffering for others, they thrive, enjoy, or whatever it is, the reasons why they do these brutalitarian things to others?
Yeah, I'd say they're aware of that, but it's ideas aware of what you're not aware of. Going to the unknown, taking the risk, and that's where the reality, the realness lies, is becoming aware of what you're not aware of, and then being aware of that, and then just keep going with that. Most of us are aware of our personal self and its idiosyncrasies, and you know, inadequacies and all that, that it's becoming aware of what we're not aware of. What are we not aware of? It's the bigger picture.
Yeah, that's
Most
what seems to be going on on the earth, is that is there a reason why anybody would want to become more aware? What would be the cause to make a being want to become more aware instead of just continuing to be the being, doing what it does as the same as it always does? It eats and it sleeps and things like this. It's just all the experiences that all the beings are going through in these psych realms are, and what they do are the causes that they'll get to experience the effects from the causes they do. So I guess that's how we become more aware, is by experiencing cause and effect here in the psych realms. At least about the psych realm stuff.
I think also part of it is boredom. I mean, we've been here so many times, there's got to be something more. So either go the way of the controllers and start torturing people and taking pleasure in making people uncomfortable and sacrifices and all that, or you go the way of really sincerely wanting to know more in a more of a real way, you know, not a distorted way. So you're bored, so you have two choices, you know. Some people are the truth seekers, you know, they want to be good people and they do the best they can. Other people are bored and they start, you know, killing people and stealing money and, you know, that things like that. So there's always a choice. We have free will.
Yeah. And a child's free will, when they're pure and real, is the free will the intention? What we intend to do? Anyway, I was wondering if there was anybody that wanted to call in or ask any questions or have something they'd like to say. Kind of discuss.
I think it's just you and I you and I tonight today.
Yeah. Well, it's hard telling, you know, if it's somebody in the future or I guess.
Sure.
Put up that there'll be something that they might be presented with if it's time or whatever it's called, if the real guides give them the opportunity to see if this new presentation is something that's important for them to try and experience to see what the results are for themselves by singing the new you song and sincerely wanting real guidance and a real education. And this stuff that a person gets involved with a new presentation as a new student, and the appreciation for the opportunity to test it for themselves, to find out for themselves what's true to themselves that is being presented, and the hints that are being given to get to this this real universe's being a free being of real light. Because it looks like the vast majority still on the earth seems to be doing by the millions the same thing as been going on so much of this lifetime. All the vehicles and not caring about the pollution it's creating. I'm surprised that our air has lasted as long as it has with all the things that have been put into it and done to it, and our waters and our food. Everybody's all running around like crazy all over the place. It's mainly getting the money for material things and for the physical pleasures. And so maybe at this time it seems like it's only for the certain few that the real guides know are ready to be given an opportunity to find real guidance and a real education to not have to come back and go through these experiences in the psych realms anymore. I guess that it's been an interesting talk, and I guess we about talked for an hour or so. So unless there's something else you'd like to mention to everybody, Val, we'll just end our blog talk show for today.
No, thanks, Tim. This will be on Kelsey Lynn Brown Blog Talk Radio. It'll be recorded. You can go back and listen to it as well as other shows. So somebody sometime may get something out of this and start waking up to more. So thanks for
great
for the show, Tim.
Yeah, thanks, Val. Good talking with you. We'll talk soon.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
You.
It's for testing. Yeah.